Hi and welcome to In Christ Singapore this Sunday morning. You are welcome to our online service today. And today we're having the privilege to have the youth with us. And we're also going to have communion in the end of the service today. So, please give a friendly wave in the chat room. And if you are new to In Christ Singapore, you are extra welcome. And please fill out a contact form so we can connect with you and give you more information who we are and what we do. All right, let's start with the announcements. AGM is coming up. It's already next Sunday at 11 a.m. And it is for registered member of In Christ Singapore. And you should have get an email in your inbox with details. And in those details, there are registration link. So to be able to join the AGM, you need to register. So find that email. And if there is any question, just reach out to us in In Christ Singapore. You can do that directly to the office and call or send an email or use the WhatsApp chat. All right. Don't forget to register for the AGM. Acts Bible Study. Next week's Bible study of Acts, we will have a live session on Zoom with Q&A. So if you have any questions of the Bible study so far, please WhatsApp them to us during use the WhatsApp chat that we have. And so give us in time so the teacher had time to prepare answers. And if there is any question or reflection that comes up during this Zoom meeting, there will be time to ask them or share at that spot. All right, and it will be hosted at Zoom. Take note, the upcoming worship seminar by Pastor Tom Inglis, it's canceled. The seminar were to occur the 19th of September, but it is canceled. So, for that week, the Acts Bible Study, Session 5, will occur the 17th of September at 8 p.m. All right, so the worship seminar is canceled, and Acts Bible Study Session 5 will be on Thursday, the 17th of September at 8 p.m. Women of Faith will be on a break next week, but will resume the week after. Tithes and Offerings. We thank you so much for your tithes and offerings. And during the situation we are in, we cannot hand you a basket where you can give cash. So electronics means is preferable. And you can use your bank app to scan the QR code next to me. Or you can use PayNow, PayLa, or you can do a manual entry through your internet bank. And if you want to give by check, just contact the office with WhatsApp and you will get all the information you need. Thank you. All right, In Christ Singapore is a cell group church. This means that we are having meetings in smaller settings throughout the week. And we strongly encourage everybody that attend to In Christ Singapore to find a cell group where you have the closeness of people that you can journey with, share your story and hear their story. And it will be beneficial for everybody around so you will not walk alone in your Christian walk. There are 7 different cell groups. Please fill in a contact form if you're interested, and we will get back to you shortly. Thank you so much for listening to me. So before we go into worship, let us come before Him and before God and calm our hearts down. Father, we thank you so much for that you are a God that loves us. We thank you so much that you decided to send your Son to die in our place, Father. We thank you so much that we can remember the death and resurrection through the Holy Communion, Father. So right now, we pray that we can calm our hearts down, our mind, so we can focus on giving you the glory and honor through our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Good morning, church. Welcome to the online Sunday service worship. And now let us hopefully to raise on your current seat right now and let us worship our God. Great is your faithfulness, God. Great. Yes, every knee will bow down. Oh, every knee will bow down.
So praise God for what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He gave His life. And because Jesus gave His life, we can receive forgiveness of sins, we can receive healing, we can receive restoration in our lives. And this is something that we cannot forget. And the Holy Communion is one of those places or one of those things that we do as we are also being remembered or remember what He has done for us. And I'm thankful that today we have this opportunity to meet together in this manner and take off the Holy Communion as a church. And I'm thankful as well that the youth have joined us today, as this is the first Sunday of the month. And I'm also thankful that together with Ruth, our operation manager, help, as well as the cell group leaders, that we have been able to distribute the elements into your homes. And that today, as we take off the communion, we will do that at the end of the service. But I want us to go into the topic of Holy Communion and go into the topic of why do we partake of the Holy Communion together, and what does it mean for our lives? And when we look upon the first church, there were four things that was a part of the first church as pillars. As soon as the church started together, as soon as the believers started to multiply, there were four things that were told about in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 42. They became a very big part of their fellowship. As it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. So there were four things that became a very central thing in their community. One being the apostles' doctrine, so the teaching and the preaching. Another thing being the fellowship, which we can see today, for example, in cell groups. In the breaking of bread that we are doing today with the Holy Communions, and in prayer. So according to Acts 2, we see right away that as the church gathered together, the early church, breaking of the bread or Holy Communion was already a part of what they did. And it's so interesting when we look upon the life of Jesus, and as he, not long before he gives his life on the cross, he gives a very important message to the 12 apostles, a message about the Holy Communion, or about the Lord's Supper. As it says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, 14 to 20, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So before Jesus is being arrested, before he goes to his trial, before he faces his death, he takes the Lord's Supper together with his apostles. And he is really introducing something that is going to be an important tradition in the church moving forward. And it's something that has become a part of all of the believers' lives. And in this setting, Jesus mentions in verse 15, where he says to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So it's a desire, it's a fervent desire. He's been longing for this time. And he also mentions that to eat this Passover with you. Which also shows us that as the Lord's Supper is being introduced to us, as the Holy Communion is being introduced to us, it is in the setting of the Passover festival. It is in the setting of the Jewish people, the apostles and Jesus, remembering what God has done as he led the nation of Israel out of slavery of Egypt. So the origin of the Passover was to take place. The original Passover took place in Egypt, where we see how the Lord miraculously leads the Israelites out of Egypt. And they were told to put blood on the doorpost of animals in order to keep safe. And they were given a special instruction to prepare a meal. So there was about to come another plague over the Egyptians. And all the firstborn was about to die. But it's in that setting in Exodus that God institutes the Passover meal. And he institutes the Passover. And in that setting, the Israelites are given the instruction to put the animal blood on the doorpost, as well as to eat the Passover meal. And the instructions were very clear what needed to be done, that the lamb needed to be blameless, that there needed to be unleavened bread, as it says in Exodus 12:7-8. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So this Passover meal was full of significance for the Israelites as they continued to celebrate the Passover. And it kind of reminded them of what God had done. And therefore they kept to the same or certain traditions in relation to the lamb, in relation to the unleavened bread. And it all was all significant to them in relation to what God, the Almighty God, had done for them and done for their forefathers. So as the Passover is the celebration of the delivery of Israel from death, from slavery in Egypt, the Passover meals was also significant in that way, that it was foreshadowing the death of Jesus. That Jesus, just like the lamb, needed to be spotless in the Passover meal. Jesus would become the spotless lamb, and his blood will be shed for us. But however, here, when Jesus is celebrating this, or when Jesus is partaking of this meal together with his disciples, he's introducing something new. He is introducing a new covenant that is taking place through his blood. The Israelites, the Jewish people, had been under the old covenant. They had been under the rules and regulations of it. But Jesus is saying, now I'm about to do something new. And as you remember what I am about to do and what I will do for you, as you remember in the future, you partake of the meal, you partake of the breaking of the bread in this manner. So the former looks back with thankfulness and remembrance to the people's redemption from Egypt by the act of God. But the Lord's Supper was the start of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. And the believers were to take of that with thankfulness as they were remembering the redemption of God and the sacrifice of Christ. So as Luke 22:19 tells us, and he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as Jesus took the bread, and as a part of the tradition of the Passover, it would have been an unleavened bread. He gave to the disciples, and he says, whenever you do this from now on, you don't do it in that sense of the remembrance of what was done through Egypt and how God miraculously led Israel out of Egypt. Now you do it in remembrance of me. Now you do it in remembrance of what I have done for you, what I have accomplished for you, and what you have in me. So as he broke the bread also being unleavened, which means that it was crisp bread without yeast. It would have, in the past, it symbolized in the Passover of the, as Israel going out of Egypt, it symbolized the haste of the children. They needed to get out of Israel fast. But also when we look upon yeast in the Bible and the bread being without yeast, yeast usually in the Bible or often it represented sin. So that Jesus was about to give his life for us. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He was without sin. And that's how the Bible talks about him. That as he would give his life, there would not be a sin in his life. There will be not anything that he would have done to compromise with the laws of God. So now there's a new focus. That's what Jesus is saying. And I wonder what apostle this must have been to the apostles. So many information Jesus was giving them. But I wonder if they could fully embrace it and understand it, many of them. But he's giving a new focus that now, as they do this, now as they break the bread, they do it because of what he has accomplished for them. So as we come together in a holy communion, we bring to remembrance what God has done for us through the cross of Jesus. And what he has done, he has given us a new covenant. He has given us a covenant of grace that now no longer do we need animal sacrifices to cover our sins like they needed to do in the Old Testament. But now, because of Jesus shedding his blood for us, we can receive forgiveness of our sins with a repentant heart. And it's the blood of Christ that has brought us close to God. And we are reminded of the forgiveness of sins as well as we are reminded of the redemption and the healing power of Christ. And as we look upon the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 and 20, likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So, first thing, he took the bread, he broke it. And he said, from now on, you do this in remembrance of me. There is a new focus, there is a new covenant. And now he says, likewise, you take the cup after supper. And this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So Jesus was giving us a new covenant between humans and God. And he was about to give his whole life for us. His blood was about to be shed for us. We know that even before the cross, I mean, he was being beaten for our transgressions. He was being beaten for our sicknesses, for our pain. As he carried the cross, there was so much sore on his body. And then as he was nailed to the cross. So again and again, Jesus, he shed his blood for us. And but he had to do it to full giving of his life. And as he was nailed to this cross, his blood was also shed for us. And it's because of that, that now you and me, we have had the privilege of entering a new covenant. It's because of that, that now you and me, we can come before him and we can know that what he has said, he is true to us. And that's the beauty of it, that when we take of the Holy Communion, it's not just an act. It's not just something that we should do for the sake of doing it, but it's in remembrance of something. It's putting our eyes on Christ. It's believing as well that what he has promised us has become ours. That his forgiveness of sin has become ours. That as he promises healing and the redemption and the brokenness of the curse of the law upon our lives, it is ours by the grace of God. Not because we deserve it, not because we have done something to deserve it, but fully because of what he has done for us. So no longer are we under the old covenant and its law, but we are under the new covenant and its grace. And that grace is not to continue on in our sin, but it's grace to even overcome sin in our life and to be able to live holy, to be able to become more and more like Him. And it's so wonderful that the Holy Communion, as we take of it, that's what we put our mind to. We put our mind to Jesus Christ. We put our mind to the fact that He has died, He has rose again, and that He has broken the power of sin, He has broken the power of sickness. And in Him, there is life, there is forgiveness, there is restoration, there is redemption in Him. And one of those things that we find as we come to the passage in 1 Corinthians 11, and usually when we do our communion at In Christ Singapore, ICS, we take a passage from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26. And we read them before we partake of the communion together. But there are some things to be noteworthy in that passage, and that is that Paul is speaking to the believers to partake of the communion in a worthy manner. And it's interesting that when we look upon it, as we come, for example, to verse 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 28, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So what Paul is saying as he's speaking to the Corinthian church, there seemed to have been some kind of a misunderstanding or some kind of a full understanding of how to take the communion in a worthy manner. And because he says, "But let man examine himself, so that they eat and drink, as they eat and drink of the cup." And but there seems to have been in this scenario in the Corinthian church, there seems to have been the people were kind of coming to the Holy Communion or to the Lord's Supper with a little bit of a ignorant attitude or not fully comprehending what was taking place. And they may have just started to take off the communion as a normal meal, or some of them may even have gotten drunk during the communion or during the communion meal. So they were taking it in an unworthy manner. But we also find in verse 18 to 22, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." So when it came to the Corinthian church, Paul was dealing with something. And that was that the hearts were not right as they came to take of the communion. And as there may have been some kind of a just treating it as a common thing, just coming to the table in that sense with a unprepared heart. As well as he mentioned, there is division among you. So when we come to the Holy Communion together as a church, it's also important to take a moment to examine our hearts. Are there things that I keep against some of my brothers and sisters? Are there things, as I just stay before the Lord, are there things He reminds me of? That in that presence, as I'm reminded of what He has done for me, I can repent from it. And the beauty of it is that as I repent from it, I know that He is faithful and true, and that He forgives my sins, and that He helps me to even become stronger in that area of my life. So one of those things that is good to do as we come and take of the Holy Communion together is to take a moment and just ask, Lord, is there anything in my heart? Are there grudges that I hold? Are there unforgiveness that I hold? Or is there anything else, a sin that I need to give up before you? And then also as we come, you know, in that Holy Communion, we're not thinking about, all right, when is lunch going to start? When is Pastor Sandra done with her preaching? Or when can I go out for my meal? Or, you know, but our focus is right there and then. Our focus is on the cross. Our focus is on Jesus. Our focus is on the work that He has accomplished for us. Because even in the communion, as we come before Him in that manner, we are remembering what He has done. We are remembering that He gave His life. And we are remembering that He has broken the power of sin. He has broken the power of sickness. He has broken the power of the enemy upon our lives. That the inheritance in Christ belongs to us, not based on what we deserve, but fully based on the grace of God. And it's in that that our faith can even be quickened, because we take the eyes of our circumstances, we put them upon Jesus, and we know that what He has done is true and is for us today. And that also at the same time, we examine our hearts and we say, Lord, if there is anything, may You show it to me so that I can come before You and I can ask for forgiveness and I can put things right before You as well. Amen and amen. So I want to take a moment right now before we partake of the Holy Communion together as a church. Let's take a moment to put our eyes on the Lord and trust that His presence fills our life, and His presence fills our homes as well as our whole family. And just take a moment to put our eyes to the cross, put our eyes to the resurrection of Jesus. And also at the same time, examine our hearts if there is a forgiveness of something in our life that is needed. So let's come before the Lord together right now. Father, we just come before You right now. Jesus, we thank You that right now You fill every home. You fill every person with Your presence. And Lord, we also just want to pray that if there are things in our hearts that are not right before You, if there is sin in our life, if there is unforgiveness in our life, if there are things that we are holding against someone, or if there's anything that You bring to our mind at this moment, Lord, we just want to come before You and we ask You to forgive us. We ask You to cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. We ask You to show us how strong we are in You, and that it's not about what we can accomplish in our own strength and power, but what You have accomplished through the cross of Christ. So right now, Lord, as we examine our hearts, may You reveal to us what needs a forgiveness. And just as You are in the presence of God right now, you can also take a moment and just ask the Lord to forgive you for those things that come to mind. Confess them before Him and let the love of Christ fill your heart. At the same time as right now, we just put our focus on Jesus. We put our focus on the redemptive work of Christ. We remember the cross. We remember what He did for us. We remember the suffering, the pain that He went through. And we remember the resurrection. We remember that as He was resurrected again, and that all of this redemptive work of Christ has broken the power of sin, has given us eternal life when we confess Him. And at the same time, it has broken the power of sickness, so there is healing in Him. There is restoration in Him. There is inheritance in Christ. And all of that is as real to us today as it was for the apostles. And we praise You and we thank You for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. And I also just want to add one point, and that is that one of the things about the communion is that it's important that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. And one of those things that we speak about in relation to the communion is that as we partake of the communion, we ask unbelievers to abstain from it. But if you're a believer in Christ, then we encourage you to join us now as we partake of it together. So reading from 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Hallelujah, Father. Father, we just thank you once again that we have been able to partake of the communion today, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that it also speaks about the unity of the church and the unities of hearts. And Lord, I pray for those that are sick among us, Lord. May your healing come upon their lives right now, Lord. And I pray for those that are experiencing difficulties or anxieties or worries, Lord. May you also come upon their lives with your joy and your restoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.